I'm a fun
you
guy.
You have fun when they finish below 500.
I'm just Captain Fun.
I guess.
Or a captain suit, the show from now on.
I don't like the half point.
Well, that's called the hook.
I don't like it.
What the hook?
How do you get rid of it? Can you get rid of the hook?
I'm going to have a coronary. I'm getting too old for this job, but you guys may have won.
Upset. If you look back at where the term came from, it was from a horse race. Upset.
When did you turn into Cliff Clavin?
I like this job. I've had it for a long time, Paul.
Last one.
This
point.
Isn't a chemistry lab.
You're on the verge of next year's Super Bowl.
I can't help what I think. Be honest, Paulie. You're not doing this for other people's entertainment. You are truly enjoying this.
This is Orange Nation. With Stephen Fonte and Paulie Sebelia.
Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to have you with us. Alongside Paulie Sebelia, I'm Stephen Fonte, as we welcome you into a Thursday edition of Orange Nation. Final show of the week here in studio. We'll be out at the Taste of Syracuse tomorrow.
You got me all excited.
Yeah, we have a show tomorrow, Paulie. We're just going to be outside.
No, it's going to be nice. Taste of Syracuse is back. Jordan's going to eat wings. We're going to discuss that with Dan, I believe, from Wildcat.
Today. Yeah, so let me set the table today. So we do
that's appropriate
from,
for Taste of Syracuse.
It is. We're going to
set
the table. What's on the menu? This is what's on the menu.
I have a tablecloth. If you're on Q Sports Talk, I look like a tablecloth.
You do. I've been accused of that in the past, but today it's you. I guess my shirt could be tablecloth material as well. We've got Mike Curtis from Syracuse.com coming up at 12:15. We've got Dan from Wildcat Sports Pub.
Know him also.
Coming up at 12:30. And then just added to our menu, we've got Jason Dumas, who will be covering the NBA Finals out in San Francisco. He works in TV and radio out there. He'll join us to preview Game 1 of the NBA Finals.
A Taste of the Bay.
That's right. Again, Game 1 tonight on the TV side of things. We've got you covered on News Channel 9. On the radio side of things, you can listen to the game right here on ESPN Radio. Plus, we'll take your phone calls at 315-437-7644.
I'm excited about the finals for the first time in a long time, Steve.
Are you?
Yeah, because I want to see how it plays out. I might be over it after game one, but I'm excited about game one at least.
Why might you be over it after game one?
Because if the Celtics come out and they're allowed to push Golden State around and D them up, be physical with them, and they can keep a game close and the refs allow it, I'm in. If Golden State comes out and just buries them with their finesse offense and
But that's just one game, though. Maybe game two is completely different.
No,
like, maybe the Warriors come out and shoot lights out and they win by 12. Who knows what could happen in game two?
I think it's either going to be six games or four games. I don't know.
I mean, as good as the Celtics have been on the road, I don't think you can count them out. I think the Warriors are absolutely the favorites. Again, I picked them about a month ago. I'm sticking with it. I think the Warriors are going to win the series. I think this is going to be an intriguing series.
I think we'll know after game one. I think
The refs don't all call it the same.
No, like, I know.
Not every game goes the same.
Trust me. I'm always right.
Trust you? So whoever wins tonight is rolling.
No, if the Celtics win tonight, I think that Golden State can adjust and win. I just don't think that the Celtics can win the series unless they go out and get it tonight.
Have to win game one.
Yeah, yeah. They don't have enough offense, right, to keep up with them.
That's a concern.
Completely.
Yes. They have to hope. I think this. They have to hope this is a lower scoring series, lower scoring games in order to win.
There's no hope. It's going to be up to them to keep it as low scoring.
They can hit a barrage of threes, like we've seen it throughout the postseason. But yes, by and large, over a seven-game series, I don't think they have enough offense to beat the Warriors unless they can limit the Warriors with their defense. So I do think you're right in that. Listen, Jason Tatum is a star. I know you were hesitant to call him a superstar. I think he's shown in these playoffs he is a superstar. Jaylen Brown's been great. Marcus Smart, Al Horford, like they've got a nice supporting cast. The Warriors' supporting cast is better. The Warriors have more guys who can beat you. They have more guys who can score. You know, we know about Clay and Steph, but Jordan Poole's come on. Andrew Wiggins has had some great games. He's really good defensively as well. Draymond does his thing. I think the Warriors are better. They've got NBA Finals experience, which I do think matters, even though some have downplayed it. I think the Warriors are going to win, but I think it's going to be a fun series. I'm really looking forward to it.
If they can't go out and push them around, it's not going to be a fun series.
Right, but again, every game isn't called the same, and you don't have the same officiating crew and so on and so forth.
Well, we'll find out.
I don't think game one is necessarily going to determine the series. However, it's, you know, if the Celtics, I'm with you in that. If the Celtics win tonight, I think the Warriors are still very much in it. The Warriors win now as the Celtics, you're going to have to beat them, you know, four times in the next six games in order to win the whole thing.
That was brilliant math, Steve. You did that off the top of your head.
No, it's just that that's not going to be easy to do, obviously.
What the hell is Jordan doing in here? And the first segment.
I know, he ended the show yesterday. Maybe he thinks he should be in here to start the show
just
tonight.
Just mic three at all times?
No, I was wondering why you were sitting in that seat, Paulie. I thought that was mine now.
Did you listen as you drove to the vet?
No, I told you I wouldn't listen because I was going to end up driving off the road.
It went well. We got through it.
That's my guy right there. It went well. You hear that?
We got through it. That's not exactly a ringing endorsement.
It is when you're talking about me,
It
okay?
went well. It went well.
We survived.
Survive in advance. We did.
We might not survive the take that I have for you guys.
If you guys are on Q Sports Talk, Jordan's shirt is something else today.
I'm power clashing today.
What in the hell is that shirt? You look like you're...
Camo pants, floral shirt. I'm power clashing.
Who dresses? You need Kim to dress you. Can Kim lay out his clothes every morning, too? Because that is a disaster.
It's called a power... Wait.
You're dressed like a five-year-old. You know how toddlers...
You look like a tablecloth that got put through an Instagram filter,
Paulie.
This is
a very
Paulie.
Nice shirt.
Paulie.
It's a good shirt, though. And it matches my pants. You look like if someone allowed a toddler to dress themselves this morning.
You
know how that happens, Steve, if you let a kid dress himself?
I'm fully
you look
aware.
Like you've had that shirt for 20 years and the color's been progressively
I have
fading
not. No,
every single wash.
This shirt is brand new, you dope.
Get a brand newer one, please.
You are in no position right now. What are you in here for, besides to ugly up the room?
You've probably heard Chris Canty on ESPN Radio, and he was on Greeny this morning.
He helped us win the award. He was on the award because...
That's Chris Carlin.
Oh, wrong one. Sorry.
Same first name.
Yeah, sorry.
Different person.
Same last initial.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Your shirt still sucks, by the way. And so does this take from Chris Canty. I didn't tell you guys what the take was.
Haven't heard it.
And that's why I'm here to explain it. I don't want to explain it. I want you to hear it in all its glory and react because it is garbage.
You're talking about him going through the second best player in the world in Kevin Durant with Kyrie Irving and sweeping the Brooklyn Nets in round one. You're talking about him beating the best player in the world in Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks, the reigning defending champs in round two, and beating the number one team in the Eastern Conference in the Miami Heat that are coached by Eric Spoelstra and put together by Pat Riley. Yeah, I would say this is a tremendous run, not to mention beating a dynastically great team in the Golden State Warriors. I've said this before and I'll say this again. If Jason Tatum finds a way to get this done in the NBA Finals and win a championship at the age of 24, we're talking about him wearing the belt as the greatest player in the NBA today. Period.
Okay, I disagree with it. I don't know if it's
that garbage.
It's not the worst take I've ever heard.
It's not the worst take ever.
What?
There's an argument to be made for that.
Yeah, I don't agree with it.
Yeah, I don't either. Giannis is better. KD's better. But he's in the argument. Like
I don't think anybody who watches NBA basketball would say even if this Celtics team wins a title, everybody knows this Celtics team is all defense. They're a big defensive team. They're a great team. They have the defensive player.
How can you not say he would be up there?
He said best player, period.
Yeah, there could be an argument for him.
Well, I think it's a little bit of hyperbole.
He's not better than Steph. He's not better than Luka. He's not better than Giannis. Is he even better than LeBron at this point in LeBron's career? We're talking top five for Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
He's better than LeBron right now, right?
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he?
He'll have gotten this team to the Eastern Conference Finals and won a finals already. Yeah, he's pretty damn good.
I mean, we were discussing a few weeks ago whether or not he was a superstar.
Top 10 and top 5 is different from king of the game.
Right, right. And I'm with you, Jordan, in that I don't think there's any question, like, he's a superstar, and I think he's shown that in the postseason. I don't agree with the take that he's the best in the league, but he's certainly in that tier of players when you're talking about the best in the game. He's not the best. But he's in that top 10.
I need a little more disgust from you, Steve.
No, you can make an argument
that
he
again?
Is the best.
I need a little more disgust from you right now. How are you not appalled by that?
Because Again, it is hyperbole. It's him, you know, laying out the argument like, look at who he beat to get there. Therefore, he's the best player in the world if he wins a championship. It doesn't work like that. It's easy to say because we've got two teams left, right? And so you say, well, if he does it and look at who he went through to get there, he must be the best player in the world. I don't agree with it, but it's sports talk radio.
I think the reason it's so ridiculous is because we saw a case where this take made sense. Luka Doncic is playing with a lot of guys who aren't starting on NBA teams if they're on another roster. And he's already, people are talking about him as the best player in the league. He can do it all. If Luka's Mavs win this year, I can see that take making sense.
He can't do it all, clearly, because he's not where Tatum is.
I'm saying he can do everything on the, like, his playmaking ability is. Yes, but that's the point. This Celtics team is so much better than the Mavericks team Luka's on. And I think Chris Canty, by saying Jason Tatum is the best player in the league if they win this title, is just ignoring the fact that the Celtics have an incredible roster.
I think incredible? They're offensively challenged a lot of the time.
They've got Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum 1 and 2. They've got Marcus Smart, Defensive Player of the Year, Time Lord Robert Williams on the defensive end. You've got depth.
I guarantee you, going into next year's finals, if Jason Tatum isn't in it and it's KD, he'll be making that argument. I think I'm the king of the hill now, and then you could take that away from me after, you know? I think he thinks Giannis is the best player, right?
That's what he said,
He went through him, and he beat him. So next year, Giannis got to take that crown back.
He beat Giannis without Chris Middleton.
Right. And listen, you're both right.
He's beaten the Yankees 10 years ago without Mariano Rivera, 10, 15 years ago.
Tatum's not the best player on the planet, but what he has done, and if they win this thing, what he will have done, it's incredibly impressive. And I do think he's catapulted his star status from wherever he was, you know, from a star to now bona fide superstar, and at least in this conversation that we're having right now. And he's young. He's got a lot of basketball left to be played. So he could end up being the best player in the world. I don't think he is yet, and I don't think this championship does that for him, but he's certainly, you know, his trajectory is going up right now. I mean, he's on an upward trajectory, and it's impressive.
He's the king of the world. He's the king of the NBA if he wins this year.
Yeah, because his team will have been, and he's the best player on the best team.
And that crown can be taken away.
Yeah, he's the best player on the best team.
I don't think it's the worst take ever, because he's legitimately in the argument.
At least he had some reasoning for what he was saying.
He's in the argument.
I see what you guys are saying, and I won't take the take on too long. I just think you can very easily name 5 guys who do different things on the court better than Tatum does.
Yeah, but you can also name 5 guys that aren't in the finals right now.
And you can name 50 guys who don't play on as good of teams as the Boston Celtics, or who dealt with bad injuries.
I don't think there's any doubt that supporting cast matters. It does. There's no doubt about it.
That's a worse take than Paulie's Georgetown take, at least, right?
This isn't...
Yes.
Okay.
This isn't like the Lakers or the, you know, the supporting cast isn't like the Lakers of Showtime or the Heat with LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. You know, it's okay.
The pieces fit together well, though. Yeah. They know what they do, and they do it really well.
Yeah,
I mean, the way that they defend as a team, and, you know, I thought our guest yesterday made a great point about, you know, we talk about Marcus Smart versus Steph, and he said it's not necessarily Marcus Smart versus Steph. It's Steph against that entire defense, and it really is. I mean, they play such good team defense, and then you've got, you know, Tatum and Brown on the other end, and they've got some nice pieces. You're right. It's not, you know, we're not talking best team of all time. You're not talking Showtime Lakers. But this team's good. They're really good.
I know it was a one-game thing, but Grant Williams, who's known as like a defense gritty guy, comes in and hits 7 threes in a game. Peyton Pritchard will randomly come off the bench and just provide a crazy spark plug. They have pieces. This isn't the Dallas Mavericks team.
I think it's going to be a fun series, and I don't think one game's going to determine it. I mean, I do think the Warriors will win, but as good as the Celtics have been on the road, I don't think, you know, that this is over. If it's 2-0 going back to Boston, for instance, I don't think it's over. I mean, obviously the Warriors would be heavily favored at that point, but
the fat lady singing, my friend, if it's they don't steal home court to start.
We'll see. We'll see.
We'll get into it more later too. I've got some interesting betting numbers on how the public's betting on the finals. do some prop bets for you guys. We'll talk with Jason DeMoss later.
I did hear that that of these two teams, 14 of them, seven on each roster, were drafted by the team. So you talk about, you know, in this day and age where it's all about, you know, free agency and setting up these super teams and guys go other places. Seven Warriors were drafted and are still with the Warriors. Seven on the Celtics. I think that's kind of interesting.
Homegrown talent.
You've got two teams who did it, for the most part, did it through the draft, which I just find that very interesting.
Take that, big threes.
Yeah. Trust the process, Paulie.
No. Don't.
Too soon.
That's mean.
Celtics trust the process. Worked out pretty well. Warriors trust the process.
The Sixers had Ime Udoka coaching their team, Paulie.
Wish they had anybody coaching their team besides Doc Rivers. But no, it's not Doc Rivers' fault. It's just a poorly built team. Thank you.
It'll be all good. They'll have Tyler Hero starting next year.
All right. We got to move on. We've got Mike Curtis coming up next. And then Dan from Wildcat Sports Pub. Back after this on ESPN Radio.
ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. Watch live on QSportsTalk.com.
This is Orange Nation.
Stephen Pauly back with you here on Orange Nation as we get set to go to our guest line to bring on our first guest today again. Dan from Wildcat Sports Pub coming up at 12:30. Jason Dumas coming up at 1:30 as we preview game one of the NBA Finals. But now we go to the phone line to bring on our good friend from Syracuse.com, Mike Curtis, joining us here on the show. Mike, always great to have you on. How are you today?
Doing good. It's a beautiful day in Syracuse after a rainy day yesterday.
It is.
I'm doing good, man.
It is. A little cooler now. No humidity. Weather looking great for the Taste of Syracuse. We'll be out there again tomorrow. We wanted to have you on because you recently put out a story about five guys you think will be in position to elevate their games the most going into next season. So let's kind of break it down into two different groups, starting with the returning guys. Which guys coming back do you think are in for a big year?
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting because all five of these guys kind of have the opportunity or the chance to pretty much improve on what they did last year. So first off, obviously, the number one scoring option I think a lot of people think is going to be Joe Girard. He's one of two starters coming back on this team alongside Jesse Edwards. And now that Buddy Boeheim, Cole Swider, and Jimmy Boeheim are gone, he's going to have all the opportunity in the world to pretty much get the shots that he wants to take, especially since we're probably going to likely see him move off the ball a little bit. Depending on who Jim Boeheim starts at point guard, whether it be Simon Torrance or Judah Mintz, actually, then Judah might have a pretty good job of getting that starting spot. It's going to be interesting to see how Joe Girard adjusts playing off the ball, similar to how he did in high school.
No, I was going to ask you about, you know, you talk about the backcourt there with Joe and Simir and Judah Mintz coming in. What about the forward position? You know, Benny Williams did not live up to the hype this year. What do you think about Benny going into next year? Do you think he's in for a big jump in year two?
Yeah, I think especially since he's going to have much more of an opportunity to kind of show what he can do. I think he's one of the most obvious picks for this kind of article that I did, who needs to elevate their game the most, just simply because he didn't have much of an opportunity to show it last year as a freshman. He has the athleticism. He has the defensive capability. I think it's just about him to kind of put it all together and kind of just get out there and get the chance to show the potential that we all see as a five-star prospect when he came out of high school last year. I think now that he had the experience of going through a college season, knowing what it takes, how hard you have to be conditioned, how prepared you have to be, I think we'll see a jump. It's going to be interesting to see what type of role he plays, though. Is he going to be a defensive forward? Is he going to be an offensive guy? That's what I'm looking forward to the most when it comes to Benny.
All right, we talked about a few of the returning guys. What about the incoming freshmen? Who do you think has the best opportunity of the new guys coming in to make an impact and play right away, and like I said, make an impact right away.
Yeah, for sure. Of the freshmen, I listed Justin Taylor, 6'7" wing. He's coming in from IMG Academy along with Quadir Copeland. I think he has the biggest upside to kind of come in day one and contribute. Like, he's a guy that can shoot. He can get his own shot. He can facilitate. He can drive to the lane and finish with contact. We've known this from his high school days, but what I'm interested in seeing is that going to translate to the college level? Is he going to have the capability to do this against guys who are the same size as him, guys who weigh more than him? Just interested in seeing how he's going to translate to the college game. And when you think about it, if you put him in the same situation Benny was last year, you probably get the same output as far as what Justin would contribute, because he wouldn't have the opportunity because of those other three guys. But when you give him an opportunity, like coming in as he is now with kind of no one in front of him, no one just solidified at that spot, I think he'll have a chance to flourish. And as far as that's the freshman. So as far as the transfer center, Monahima, I think he has an opportunity to be that backup center after Jesse Edwards. He's coming in from Duquesne. And he averaged 1.9 points and 2.8 rebounds last year in 21 games. But I think he'll get more of an opportunity to show what he can do as well.
How much do you think he'll actually play? I mean, we expect, you know, Jesse's going to be the guy for 30, 35 minutes, whatever it is. I mean, how much of an impact do you expect him to make?
Yeah, I actually think he'll play quite a bit. If we look at this past season, Jesse Edwards fouled out a lot. And he got in foul trouble pretty much in a lot of first half. So that allowed Barama Sidibe to come on, especially later in the season, to come in and give you quality minutes. So if that's the same, if Jesse doesn't kind of tone down that tendency to get in foul trouble, I think we'll see a lot of Hema and even Peter Carey. Both of those guys may compete for that backup center spot. It may not just be Hema coming in and automatically getting that spot. There has to be a competition, especially when you're when it's two new guys. You want to see what you can get from both players.
So Paulie and I had a discussion yesterday about the Georgetown game. Paulie's not a big fan of it. I said, you know, I don't mind it. I see that there's a reason why that Georgetown game is on the schedule every year. What do you make of that game? As, you know, we'll get it again at least one final time here this year, as they're in the final year of their 4-year deal with that series. What are your thoughts on the Georgetown series?
Yeah, I think it's good to keep any shirt. I think it's good to have tradition. We all know the Georgetown-Syracuse game has been tradition since Syracuse was still in the Big East. Not so much since they moved to the ACC. I think when you think of ACC opponents and rivals, you think of Duke, you think of other schools. But that staple has always been the Georgetown game, and fans love it. Like, when I went to D.C. back in December for the Georgetown game, you saw a lot of Syracuse fans. And they were loud. Like, they traveled for that game and for that matchup. I think it'll look different once we get to the end of the Boeheim era, because then the new coach will be in and you probably won't have the same fire as it once did. But as long as as long as Boeheim is still here, I think it's pretty interesting.
One more SU question for you, Mike. You know, you covered the SU women as well. We see what Felicia Leggett-Jack's doing. She's brought in a lot of new players. She's really done a nice job rounding out that roster. Any thoughts on the SU women? I know they just, there's talk about this Temple transfer, Kyla Wood. Can you tell us anything about her or anything else going on with the SU women that you want to get across?
Yeah, for sure. I wrote a feature on Kyra Wood. She transferred here from Temple. She's going to be a sophomore this year. She's 6'3" forward. She's going to add to that front court that Syracuse kind of lacked in depth the past couple of last year. She's an interesting player. She actually played three sports in high school before she narrowed it down to just basketball, volleyball. That third sport was rugby, which was really interesting because you don't hear a lot of basketball players playing rugby. But I talked to her father, and he told me that that pretty much helped with her physicality down there in the post. And it'll be interesting to see how that translates. I mean, she started the last 8 of 9 games at Temple last year, scored a career high 16 points, had 11 rebounds at one point last year. So if she can do that at the ACC level, I think it'll turn out to be a good get for Syracuse. That's definitely about Kyra, but as far as the roster as a whole, I think Felicia's coming in. I mean, she pretty much brought in the players she wanted, brought in the players she thought would give her a good chance to win this year. I think it's going to be interesting to see, especially with all the new energy around this program. I know the last two seasons haven't been as positive around this team, but I'm interested to see how it all shakes out on the court.
All right, Mike, and then last one for you. Game one of the NBA Finals tonight. You got a prediction for us? Who wins the series? And what are you most looking forward to out of this series?
Oh, game one. I can't believe we have a maximum of 7 games, minimum 4 games left in the NBA season. It seems like it just flew by. But I always say game one of any series is a fill-out game. You never know what you're going to get. You get a blowout, you can get all-time classic. Down to the wire game, but I think it's pretty much a fill-out game for both teams to kind of assess what they can do, what will be successful, and what won't work against each other. When I look at this series, I think of experience. I think that matters in the final. So I'm going with the Golden State Warriors to close it out in 6. I chose 6 because I know they like to close their series out on their home floor. They have that final game, if I'm not mistaken. In 6 games. So if not, I think it'll be 7.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think experience matters, certainly this time of year. Mike, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, Mike Curtis from Syracuse.com. We'll take a break. Dan from Wildcat Sports Pub set to join us on the other side. Come on back. You're listening to Orange Nation on ESPN Radio.
ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. Watch live on QSportsTalk.com. This is Orange Nation.
I'm your idol, the highest title, numero uno. I'm not a Puerto Rican, but I'm speaking so that you know. And understand I got the gift of speech, and it's a blessing. So listen to the lesson I preach.
I just figured I'd let Special Ed do his thing there for
We were discussing off air what we were going to do with Jordan for tomorrow, and he clearly was not listening to the segment because he doesn't know that if he...
He didn't know about the $50?
No.
I told you he wasn't listening.
If he hits 21 wings, so if he beats the 20.5 wings, he gets $50.
What happened to like 12 and a half and 16 and a half?
All right, well,
you didn't listen.
Hang on.
You don't have to get to 21 in order to win.
You have to get to 16.
Oh.
And then we're going to have a money ball wing that is Reaper hot.
So that'll be
worth 5 wings if you finish it.
So if you can choose, it can be your choice. If you're on pace and you want to hit the 21, you can. If you want to just go to 16 and then go with that hot wing, you can do that as well.
I love this.
So there
so
you
have two,
so
two paths to the money.
Do I get $50 if I choke on a chicken wing bone?
No.
No. Okay.
We'll just throw you in a dumpster.
Medic.
People just think we'll put you in a bag and toss you in a dumpster. Nobody will even know you're gone.
You're talking about putting...
We do have to have a medic there, though. I just discussed that with... The powers that be, we do have to have one of the EMSs there while he does it. So
now I'm actually like high key scared. Like I'm
no,
very
you
scared.
Have to do that in case you.
Do I have to sign a waiver?
No, you'll be fine. We'll be good.
No, you'll be fine.
That's what they say when they
paddles there. You'll be okay.
Clear.
Oh, Jordan.
So that's a gamble he's got to take, Steve.
It is, and this is a gamble you could take. We've got the NBA Finals this week, and you may know, you may not know, but DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NBA. And this week, new customers can bet $5 on either the Warriors or Celtics to win. You get $150 back in free bets if they do. And if you're looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during the NBA playoffs, DraftKings has you covered with the same game parlays. You create your own parlay combining multiple bets like which team will win, three-pointers made, total rebounds, and more. And right now, all customers can place the same game parlay with three or more legs. You get a free bet back up to $25 if one leg doesn't hit. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code 977. Bet $5 on either the Celtics or Warriors to win their game, and you get $150 in free bets if they do. That's promo code 977. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 and over and physically present in New York. Eligibility restrictions apply. Minimum $5 deposit. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. That's 467-369. Why do you have basketball cards in a binder?
So you weren't here yet, Steve, but I brought in some old baseball cards. It was like a Topps 1993 set.
Okay.
Brent and Pauly, for 20 minutes in the middle of the office, were doing that. You've seen on Twitter, men can just sit and name random athletes for 15 minutes. That was them like, oh, Steve Sachs. Oh, this guy's from Syracuse. Can I have this one? Oh, no way.
It literally was just us blurting out names as we, oh, Gary Sheffield. Oh, look at that.
Except they Chuck weren't Knobloch. Gary Sheffield. They were like Squash Johnson, like third string catcher for
random
the Padres.
People.
Yeah, yeah, it was just too. A bunch of people that you don't remember, like, off the top of your head, and then you see him, you're like, oh, man, he was halfway decent.
Yeah, so
Jordan
just,
took,
a bunch.
You remember?
So you brought in old basketball cards,
yeah,
today.
I have football, too. I like showing off the cards. I was showing Pauly and Allen Iverson. I have a lot of old names.
Clarence Witherspoon, did I just see him?
Yep, there's one of those in there. Got some good ones. You guys could get distracted by these. While you're doing this, because I want to do a prop segment. I wanna tease that. So
tease props.
There you go.
It's a gambling.
Before we get there, just so you know, according to some other sports books, they're nowhere near as good as DraftKings, especially with that +2,000 value. On online sportsbook PointsBet, 87% of money has been wagered on the Warriors. Almost 90% of money. Steve's so distracted.
Steve has
right
not just completely checked out of the show. He's looking at basketball cards now.
Isn't that what I was supposed to do? That's why you brought them in, right? You wanted me to look at them? Yeah, I'm looking
at
them.
We're doing a radio show.
You're good.
But he said while Steve does that, and he's talking.
I got you. The majority of the money, right, is on Golden State.
Yes.
However, Caesars has reported taking a $100,000 bet on the Boston Celtics to win the series. So what it's seeming
What's
like...
What's the payout?
It's between... It's +140 odds, so that would be $140,000. So it seems like the sharps are on the Celtics. They see the value, and they're taking that line with the big bets. All the squares like us, all the casual bettors, 90% of us, they're hopping on Golden State. Remember, people, if you're with the public, you're probably going to lose money. So keep that in mind before you place your bets on the DraftKings Sportsbook tonight.
What do you think about Game 1?
I'll be honest with you. So right when the finals matchup was set, I immediately took Warriors to win the series and Game 1 because I figured that everybody else would do the same. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to hop on DraftKings and I'm going to see if I can middle it. If the Celtics line has moved like a point, that way I win either way and I have a chance at winning like 3 or 4 units in one foul swoop. That's why you got to get in early.
Follow but what about, one I, foul I swoop. You. I asked you about Game 1 tonight.
And I told you, I've got the Warriors.
You covered. So, okay.
You said I got both of them.
You basically said I can win both ways. Okay.
Oh, no.
And it's a foul swoop, not a foul swoop.
It's not foul, like caca swoop, right?
No.
He's got a Christian Leitner card.
I do.
He had a Tony Delk in there too. I saw so.
So we got prop bets next segment. Should we look at these cards during the break?
You need to take these away from me.
Go into Q Sports Talk and we'll read them out loud. During the break, and we'll make it a complete gambling segment next because I made my golf picks. So you guys can do your cash out Saturdays.
Cash out Saturdays.
Scottie Pippen. All right, we're back after this.
Taste of Syracuse.
Hour number two next on ESPN Radio.